The light shines in the darkness. In other words, the world is unaware that Christ is in all men. And he goes on to say, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now, in those two lines, you find the infinite Christ, which is in every man, and you find 99.9% of the human race unaware of the Christ, which is in all men. And that basically is the human problem. Now then, you have something wrong with you. And you say, why? Why have I got this, and he got that, and she has this? Well, it's very simple. And yet it's avoided the knowledge of mankind. You are the Son of God. And you're not living that way. And so you get a problem. And that tells you about the fact that it's God's will that you be the Son of God. And so when we say that God's will is what you follow, it's necessary to spend some time seeking out that will. It's necessary to correct all errors in which you overlook the presence of the Christ within yourself. And just as quickly as you can, I mean before you leave this room, there should be the knowledge in everyone that within me is the Christ. Within me is the light of God. Within me is the infinite light of God. The infinite Christ within me. And then, that is my name. I am the infinite Christ of God, because there's no finite Christ. I cannot be Christ finite. There is none. The Christ of God is whom we all are. And that makes you a very unique being. You may be sitting in this room, but your infinite Christhood is not sitting in this room. Your infinite Christhood is everywhere throughout the globe. And unless you get used to that idea, it won't be of much use to you. I want to change your view of yourself. I want you to see that you cannot be anything but an infinite being. That's the reason we have lifespans, because we have finitized ourselves. We cannot finitize ourselves because we're being untrue. I, you, am the Christ. The Christ is infinite, I am infinite. That means you will find me anywhere in the globe. And I'm as much there as I am here. And that makes you a very unusual being. And that's what you are, an unusual being. And you're going to build on that knowledge. You'll see that because you are the infinite Christ, you can't have a local problem. You've had local problems because you did not respect the infinity of your being. You've been content with being a finite person. And there is none. We should now be aware of the unusual nature of being. Each of us is the infinite Christ wearing a temporary garment of flesh. Consciousness that knows that I am not flesh, I am the living Christ, finds that harmonies begin to establish themselves unknown to human beings. Something that has to be done gets done, and you weren't even aware that it had to be done. Things you didn't know were possible start happening in your life. The moment you acknowledge your infinite self, your life has changed. And it won't be long before you realize that the change is dramatic and affecting everything that you do. Your whole perspective your capacity your tolerance your absence of fear when you are the infinite Christ in your consciousness, not just in your mouth, think for a moment what that might mean. What can you fear? The fear would be the denial of who you are. What can you lack? Every negative is a denial that I am the infinite Christ. The problem of lack and fear and discord all stem from the false identification which we take on ourselves as we call ourselves human beings. It's almost obsolete to be a human being for a student of truth. And the sooner we reach the point where we can spot this discrepancy, when we hear ourselves described as a human being, we feel awkward. We don't even know who they're talking about at first. Because I was once under that impression. But as you come above that and faithfully uphold that, you find that you've been reborn. And as you uphold that so much, that never in your lifetime are you cut unawares that you begin to suspect that you're still a human being, then you find that the phrase being born again is something that you have already done. And that is the spiritual rebirth. Where nothing can come nigh thy dwelling, because your dwelling is not a physical dwelling anymore. You don't live in a house. You live in Christ. And that's the difference between spiritual living and physical living. You translate everything into the Spirit of God. Now people will come to you in a different way. They won't know themselves why. I see people frequently who once were very material, and they looked it. And then I see them, their outlook has changed. They're so different that you don't recognize them at first. Suddenly they appear before you and you think it's a whole new person, and it's that same person you knew. But they have taken a new consciousness, and everything in their life moves in a different speed, at a different level. It seems that human relationships are brought to a new type of awareness when one partner takes on the spirit and one doesn't. Many men find they are lagging behind. Many women are somewhat ahead of their husbands. But when a man takes on the spirit and becomes an adept at it, it makes no difference if he's male or female. It makes no difference if a woman takes it on, if she is adept at it. Each has the same potential, the same capacity, the same unlimited capacity. I think we have reached the point now where we can learn how to be transparencies for spiritual truth without saying a word. We can show forth who we are and who we expect other people to be by the way we treat them. Have you noticed in your life that over the past 5 years, something in you has taken a new turn, a new depth, and people around you have changed their attitudes about who you were, what you were? Have you been released from a sort of bondage by finding this new self? Now you should have a spiritual body, which you may not be aware of, but the spiritual body is the only body that you do have. You may think, I have a fleshly body, but when you learn that you can't have two, and that the fleshly body is the concept we entertain about our spiritual body, then you're a little closer to the truth than you had been in your human days. Jesus came on earth again to teach man that he was not a mortal being, that man was immortal, and that man had not a body of flesh, but a spiritual body. And the world still is not aware of this teaching. When he stood before the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth," and the supposedly dead man walked forth, what was he saying? What was he teaching us? He was teaching us that Lazarus, in his invisible body, was still alive. In his visible body, he was dead. But the invisible body of spirit was alive. And he was saying, you have an invisible body of spirit that is always alive. It isn't something you're going to develop later. You have it now. He came to show us that everything he had in this world, we have now. But we have it invisibly. We have to develop the knowledge that we have it, and then develop the knowledge of how to use it and how to depend on it. And there's nothing that Jesus showed that he had that is not yours now. You're not going to die to develop a spiritual body. You're going to die to the flesh, die to the belief in flesh, and your spiritual body will walk out, but you will still appear in flesh. Once you learn that this spiritual body is real, and you commune with the Christ within, to your intense surprise, you'll discover your spiritual body is beginning to awaken. It may not seem so at this moment, but you'll find someday you're way ahead of where you are now, and you'll find that things which we are saying now will seem so advanced, at that day they'll seem sort of obsolete. You'll see young girls and young men aware of their spiritual bodies, knowledgeably in them permanently, because your spiritual body will never die. When the flesh is laid to rest, there will be a lingering light. The Christ light never dies. You can't have the Christ light now and lose it. There's no place you can lose the Christ light. And that's the beauty of God's world, that each of us has the Christ light that we can never lose, that even when the body lies in a sense of rest, in a sense called death, we're not dead. Lazarus come forth. We're just another proof of that. Because the Christ light which was alive came forth. I wish we could demonstrate that every person could see a dead person walk again. Jesus showed it many times in Nain. The boy who was dead wasn't in his coffin yet. Sat up in it at any rate. He wasn't buried yet. He was alive. Why? Because the Christ in him was alive. And that was the demonstration that Christ in you is always alive. The Christ in the 12-year-old girl that he healed in when her father came to him, the nobleman's son, the Christ in him, the Christ in Moses, who came back after 1600 years, and he had been buried. We're going to find that most unusual thing called perpetual life. And as we become aware of it, awakened to it, it will not be a deadness. It will come out and be used. And you will find, and I am finding, that we have no capacity to die. It simply is not there. If you are the Christ life, the Christ light, Christ has no way of dying. Christ and God are one. And the Christ light of your being cultivated brings you out of the sleep of mortality into the light of immortality, which is perpetual. This is the night that you learn that you can never die. And if you doubt me and do some research, you'll find that death only comes to those who believe in death. But it doesn't come to them in the sense that it's real. They accept it and they lie down. Your infinite capacity for life will always be with you. Now the flesh must lie down, but the flesh will not lie down when the Christ has awakened. And now it is up to us to become trained in Christ awareness so that we become more alive than we have been. And life eternal becomes a heritage of every man, every woman. You'll find it become more evident as you go along. You'll see signs of it everywhere, and in yourself too. Too long we have been asleep to who we are. We have never been mortal. We are immortal now. We are immortal Christ at this moment. And I like to meditate on that to reach a realization that is more poignant more realized Thou seest me, Thou seest the Father. You will realize that everything Jesus said of himself is true of you. reason to establish the identity so strongly is so that you will not commit a denial of it. When you commit a denial of identity, you're denying I am the Christ, and your denial will be your experience. Can you reach the conclusion within yourself that you have the right to say, I will not die, I am the Christ? Try it. Now you say, what about my body? Can you say, I will not die, and know that I someday will not be in this body, and yet I am alive? I think many will attain that knowledge. That my life is perpetual. One day, I will graduate from a body of flesh. I will appear in it, but I will not be in it. I will appear in it now, but I'm not in it. I just don't know it. Later, I hope to know it. And then when you're aware that you're not in this body of flesh, you will find a certain degree of freedom, quite different than any kind of freedom given to you in this world of physical attributes. You won't be living in a three-dimensional world. You'll be higher, and you'll be walking this ground in the fourth dimension. You'll find the limitations of three dimensions you have outgrown. Why should you be limited to three dimensions if you are light instead of physical form? You must think of yourself as light. Because light is not limited to a space, to a boundary, to a finite form. And to the attributes of finite form. Now you may not first understand that what we're saying is who you really are and what you really are. You may think these are things that would be nice to be. I want to impress upon you that everything said so far is who you are now. And someday you will awaken to the realization of that. And as soon as you do, you will use more of yourself. The Christ within will teach you how. It is important that you constantly refresh yourself with truth that has the authority of Christ behind it. You may say, well, I am the light is just a phrase to me. But you must look again at John 1. 1:3 or 1:4, and read what the Christ says about the light. And see that the light he's talking about is the light of you, and that's your authority. That's what I mean by following the will of God. He says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not. And you cannot afford to be the darkness any longer. You either are the darkness or you know I am the light. And if you know I am the light, then your belief in it must express. That will take many different forms of experience. The light penetrates areas where the form does not. Well, I can go to Saudi Arabia in 5 seconds. You begin to see what your versatility will be. The light has qualities that physical matter can never have. The light has unexpected power. I mean the light of your being. Transfiguration, forms of light appeared. Forms that were not seen on the earth by men. But by the souls of 3 disciples. called Step Forth. The form that stepped forth from the tomb was a light form. In coming into the awareness of the human beings, it became a physical form in their eyes. It was a form of light. When the jail that held Peter or Paul opened, it was light that opened it. It was light that took place in all of the healings. As Jesus healed a blind man, a leper, so on. He re-established the truth of the light of being, and it showed forth whole, and we saw it as flesh. But it was light invisible. And that's how you will find healings taking place in your life. The light of you, recognized, felt, lived in, will step forth as flesh, but it will be whole. This light shines in the darkness everywhere. It is a secret of the Bible. The light that shines in the darkness is the light of you. And as you bring it forth, through your knowledge of its presence, Christ in you, which has ever been there, is born. You have added another level to your awareness, to your being, which makes you permanent. We must each come into that Christ. And we're going to harp on it until we don't forget the need to be born of the Christ. That will be totally different than the first birth. That will be your second birth. You may think there are some limitations. I assure you there are no limitations. Everything that Jesus Christ did, including having himself crucified while he was in a spiritual body, there is nothing that he did that you and I are not called upon to do. It may take time. It won't be a simple thing. And we won't be called upon to do anything that we're not capable of doing. But our goal, our topmost goal, is to say as he did, "Thou seest me, thou seest the Father." And therefore, anything that is in God is in me. The Father says, "All that I have is thine." And you cannot be one with the Father without that being true of you. You are one with the Father through Christ, and all that the Father has is thine through Christ. And it may seem like a millennium or something that is far, far away. But you know, it was far away 2,000 years ago. We've made very little progress since then. And it's time to catch up. Let's review for a moment. I is your name. I is the name of Christ. It is our function attempt to maintain I Christ, to view the things that happen around us in a different way than the mind of man. It is our function not to let ourselves be lifted out of the knowledge and the faith that I, Christ, is by name. You will find many opportunities to uphold that. And you will find increasing strength as you uphold it. You'll find fortitude you never knew you had. But it will not be borrowed, it will be true.